Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Blog Talk Radio Show on every evening, if possible, at either 6:30, 8, or 9:30, or 10, or 11. And this show, let me tell you a little about how this show works. So you know, first of all, I'll tell you how the show works and the emphasis on it. I have a great interest in literature, Russian literature, like Dostoevsky, Gogol, Tolstoy, and English literature, such as Trollope, and E.M. Forster, and Joseph Conrad, and Jane Austen. I have a great interest in great literature, or what I consider great literature, and I emphasize it. I also have an interest in French literature, Albert Camus, and German literature, such as Goethe and others, Heinrich Heine, the poet. So I'm very interested in literature. This show also has an emphasis on Christian belief and theological issues. That would be biblical revelation in every way. We're concerned with theology. I have an MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I have a more than passing interest in theology in that area of thought. And I also have an interest in current events and that type of thing, politics. I'm conservative, but again, I follow Christ in his direction in the Gospels, and I look at the poor, and I'm concerned about them and about the underclass. And I follow Christ in that respect. And it may not be conservative, but I follow it significantly. As he says, the poor are blessed, the poor in spirit are blessed. And it said of him, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? Just some examples of his concern for the poor and identification with the poor. I'd also like to talk about my take on this show. This is a politically incorrect show. We are not concerned with media hope, media falsehoods. We're concerned with critical thinking, accurate thinking, honest discernment, and intellectual honesty. This show is about honest thought, not about political rhetoric or political lies or political nonsense, which takes you nowhere. And as George Orwell said in 1984, this is propaganda, it is newspeak, and is of no value except to fool us all from the truth as to what's going on. I also, as I say, I'm a Christian, and this show is a Christian show. And, of course, I believe in the full biblical revelation from Genesis to Revelation. I also believe in the creeds of the church, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed. And I also read Christian books such as C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, Calvin, Luther, Bonhoeffer, T.S. Eliot, whoever you might imagine. These are the people that I read. And Milton, of course. Milton is one of my favorites Christian authors. He's one of the greats. He's the author of Paradise Lost and of Paradise Regained and Samson Agonistes, all biblical-based in Genesis and the Book of Judges. He's a great writer. He's a great epic poet. I'll never stop reading him. And he had the perspicacity to understand that In Genesis 2 is the ultimate truth, is how evil came into the world. We see evil, we know it, it's here, and Milton had the perspicacity to identify it in Genesis 2 and to see the fall of man as to bringing sin into the world. He's one of my favorites, one of my all-time favorites, along with Dickens and Thackeray and Conrad and Austen. Next, I have many visitors to these Christian shows, these podcasts and Blog Talk Radio Show. I have two Christian shows, Blog Talk Radio Show and podcast show, and I've had 4,300 visitors to my podcast show and many visitors from Muslim countries to the Blog Talk Radio Show and to my podcast show. Many, many visitors from foreign countries all over the world, constantly reading my work, absorbing it, and paying attention to it. These articles and books I write, they have a great foreign following. And I'm proud to say that my dear Muslim brothers and sisters do listen to these broadcasts, whether Blog Talk or a podcast radio show. And despite their not being Christians, They listen to it and absorb it, and it indicates their intelligence and ability, which is really quite massive. I had a friend in Iran, a philosophy student, who was very happy with my Christian books. She was a Muslim, but she was very happy with my Christian books. Now I'm going to go on. I've written these books. We have the two radio shows, a podcast radio show and Blog Talk radio show, and they were both Christian shows, but I welcome all faiths and all thought systems, all opinions and all ideas. I welcome them. I'm interested in a dialogue with other religions. I'm willing to listen to them and talk to them and relate to them. I'm very interested because I know that every person has the divine image of Jesus in their face. And these people, whether Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, they have the face of Jesus in their minds and face, undeniably. So, and I respect them and understand them and wish to know them completely. Next, I have written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. The Christian books I have written are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Filth, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables. It interprets 41 parables of the Gospels, and a book on the select legal topics, Volume 1 and 2, law books, and as well as I've written a book on the Psalms, a 390-page book on the 150 Psalms in the Bible. And I would hope that you will get a chance to read the Psalms. They are the spiritual food of the church. As John Donne, the Anglican poet, said of the Psalms, they are the manna of the church. You can't stop reading them, whether they're in a translation or not in a translation. It's Hebrew-Jewish poetry. Their poetry is very great. I read it in Hebrew in seminary, and I continue to read it every night and every day in English. Because, and I have to say that if I challenge you, if you're going to read anything in English translation, whether War and Peace or Dostoevsky or Gogol or Camus, or you're going to read the Psalms in an English translation, I challenge you which you will tire of more and faster. The Psalms are spiritual food. They're great. They're absolutely fantastic. And I advise you to read them every day of the week, every night of the week. You will never tire of them. I'm also writing 4 blog books of my blogs, literary, philosophical, theological, and political blogs. These will be 4 books of these blogs, which I hope you will find interesting. I also am writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. Can't stop reading about the miracles in the Bible. The Bible is a place of supernatural, unless you understand that it's a supernatural offering. The Bible will do you no good in any way. You're wasting your time in not entering the biblical world of the supernatural. That's what it is. That's what it offers us. Whether it's the miracles of Jesus or the miracle of the burning bush with Moses. Next, I'm reading a book on the book of Job, a very great book in the Bible, in the canon of the Hebrew Bible. He was an Edomite, but he was not Jewish. But it was a great book of the trials that Job was put upon by God to make us understand trials and tribulations, that why suffering happens to us. It's a great book, and I've written 3 very important articles in the Syracuse Law Review, an article on criminal procedure brought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department, 2 articles in Academicus in an Albanian scientific journal, also been bought by the State Department. All 3 of these books have been bought by universities in Europe, Asia, Africa, all over the world on a constant basis. And I hope you'll enjoy, you too will read. I'm very pleased that they have been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. I'm extremely pleased that my work has risen to that level of society. Next, I want to talk about one of the parables. The parables are very important because they represent the mind and thought of Christ. And for us to understand the parables is somewhat difficult because we are relating to the mind and thought of Jesus, which is very profound and very great. And we really can't really grasp it unless we read them time and time again and try to understand them. Tonight I'm going to talk about one of my favorite parables, which I think that you will enjoy too, because it's a very important statement of truth. It's called The Parable of the Rich Man and Lazarus. It's found in Luke 16, 19 to 31, as follows. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, full of sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he's in hell. This rich man who ignored the plight of this poor man was carried to heaven, and the rich man died and ended up in torment. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. He saw Abraham where Lazarus would be, and he called up, Father Abraham, mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. So he calls out, Lazarus is in heaven, and the rich man, being in torment and in Hades, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus with him. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and sent Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, and this is the key to understanding this parable, remember that you in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner received evil things. Now he's comforted here, and you are in anguish. So he's saying here, well, so this rich man, you got a lot of good things, but Lazarus got nothing, and now he has been rewarded by being in heaven, and you are in anguish. And besides, he says, between you and me, a great wall has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. So the Abraham says, you received good things, and Lazarus got evil things, and now he's comforted here, and you're in anguish. And then he says, besides, between us is a great chasm in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But no, Father Abraham, the rich man says, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And Father Abraham says, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. So this is a very important story. It's a warning as to what could happen to us if we conduct our lives like the rich man. In this, we have this picture of a rich man in fine clothes who feasts every day, while at his gate lay a poor man full of sores, who wanted to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. But only dogs came and licked his sores. And the poor man dies and was carried to Abraham's bosom. But the rich man died as well, and in Hades, while in torment for his evil life, not caring about people, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and he'll send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because of my torment in this flame. And then we have now the understanding of this parable, where Abraham says, Son, remember in your life you received good things, and Lazarus received evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. So that's the key. The rich man earned his fate in Hades, and Lazarus earned his reward in heaven. And then the rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus to his father to warn his brothers about their ending up in hell. And Abraham replies, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. The response of the rich man was, if someone rose from the dead, his brothers would repent. But Abraham responded that if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rose from the dead. So, rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house to warn his brothers about what should happen to them in hell. And Abraham replies, well, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear men. Let them hear then. And then the response of the rich man is very important, was that if someone rose from the dead, his brothers would repent. He's really referring to the risen Christ who would come to him, his brothers, and they would repent. But Abraham responded, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rose from the dead. This is a very important statement. They will not be convinced in the risen Christ if someone rose from the dead, even though but they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. So this parable has a number of meanings that can be inferred from it. One is that we have the opportunity presented in our lives to help and assist those less fortunate than us. We should not waste and spend our lives in our own selfish pleasures, as the rich man did in this parable. Jesus says if we do this, then we will suffer in the next world. So that's the main meaning. One is that if we have the opportunity in our lives to help and assist those less fortunate than us, we should not waste and spend our lives, as this rich man did, in our own selfish pleasures and not paying attention to this poverty-stricken, disabled, poor person. And if we do that, we will suffer in the next world. It's a warning. He says, if we don't help other people, it's a warning as to what can happen to us. In this parable, Lazarus is disabled, covered with a skin disease. He's virtually a beggar in the street at the gate of the rich man's house, where he desires to be given the leftovers of the feast. Perhaps what fell from the rich man's table was crumbs or scraps that may have fallen or thrown from the table for the dogs. And the dogs are licking Lazarus' sores. And the initial lesson here is that this Lazarus is covered with a skin disease, is virtually a beggar in the street at the gate of the rich man's house. He wants leftovers of the feast, maybe some crumbs or scraps that were thrown for the dogs. The initial lesson here is for ignoring the plight of this poor, poverty-stricken, suffering man, for ignoring it and not being caring about this person. The rich man is condemned to some sort of torment in Hades or hell, while Lazarus is rewarded in heaven at the bosom of Abraham. In this torment, the rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus to cool him, and Abraham explains that he received good things and Lazarus received evil things, so he is now comforted while the rich man suffers in hell. The implication here is that Lazarus is rewarded with a place in heaven, having suffered greatly during his life, and the rich man is punished not for not helping him. His punishment is for not showing compassion and love for the suffering and unfortunate Lazarus in front of him in hunger and poverty and physical suffering while he did nothing to help. That's the key here. One meaning is that if we have the opportunity presented in our lives to help and assist those less fortunate than us, we should not waste and spend our lives in our own selfish pleasures, as the rich man did in this parable. Jesus says if we do that, if we ignore the plight of this less fortunate person, we just think of ourselves, our own selfish pleasures, we will suffer as this rich man did in the next world. And in addition, there's another meaning. Lazarus is disabled and covered with a skin disease. He is virtually a beggar in the street at the gate of the rich man's house where he wants leftovers of the feast. Perhaps what fell from the rich man's table was crumbs or scraps that were thrown at the table for the dogs. And the dogs here are licking Lazarus' tongue. The initial lesson here, and this second lesson, is that for ignoring the plight of Lazarus and his miserable condition and being indifferent to this poor, suffering man, the rich man is condemned to some sort of torment in hell, while Lazarus is rewarded in heaven for his suffering on earth. In his torment, the rich man begs Lazarus to cool him with his finger. Abraham through three. Again, Abraham explains in the parable, Jesus explains in the parable, that he received good things in his life, and Lazarus received evil things. So now, the rich man suffers in hell, while Lazarus is comforted in heaven. The implication here is that Lazarus is rewarded with a place in heaven, having suffered in his life, while the rich man is punished. And why is the rich man punished? For not showing compassion and love for the suffering and unfortunate. Lazarus was right in front of him in hunger, poverty, and physical suffering, and he did nothing to help. This punishment of the rich man is for not showing compassion and love for the suffering and unfortunate. And we're told that Lazarus was right in front of him in hunger, poverty, and physical suffering, and he was indifferent and didn't help. And when the rich man then begs Abraham to warn his five brothers of what could happen to them, the torment that awaits them, Abraham responds, they have heard this message through the word of Moses and his prophets, and they won't be convinced. They've already been told about it, what can happen to them through Moses and the prophets. And then the rich man, Abraham, responds, even if someone, this is the lesson of Jesus, returns from the dead and warns them it will do them no good, they will remain unconvinced and will not change their lives. The risen Christ, he says, if they haven't gained belief through the word of Moses and the prophets, they will not convince. Even if a dead man comes out of life and warns them, it will do them no good, and they will remain unconvinced. This is a very perceptive message. Jesus says we all have a chance and opportunity to hear through the Bible this message, who we should be and what should we do in our lives. If in our lives we have paid no attention and remained unchanged and inconstant, Jesus says here that even if someone returns from the dead, even Christ, they will remain adamant. It's a very perceptive set of thoughts. Jesus says we all have the chance and opportunity to hear through the Bible and its message the kind of persons we should be, what we should do with our lives, and if our lives we have paid no attention to the poor and suffering, and we remain unchanged and unconvinced. Jesus says here, even if he returns from the dead to tell them about Moses and the prophets, they will remain stubborn. Jesus tells us further we have a chance to make something of our lives, and if we throw away our chance, we do so knowingly, and nothing will change who we are and the decisions we have made. This is the key. If in our lives we have paid no attention and remained unchanged and unconvinced, Jesus says here, even if someone returns from the dead after Moses and the prophets, we will remain adamant. Jesus tells us further we have a chance to make something of our lives, and like the rich man, if we don't take that chance, it's our own fault, and nothing will change our fate as to who we are and the decisions we have made. I really hope you read this parable. It's found in Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. I hope you read the section of my book interpreting it, which is chapter 38, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. I think it'll be helpful to understand the kind of life we should live and our obligations to other people. I think it's a wonderful story, and it's a warning. I don't think we'll be in hell, or any of us. Jesus doesn't say that, but he does warn us that if we pay no attention to those who are in need and the poor and the suffering, if we pay no attention to them, he says that we may be in trouble. It's a warning. That's the way to see it. But it's a very serious warning about what could happen to us if we don't change our lives and live righteously and with love and concern for other people. I think you'll enjoy this parable, and it's very important because it is the advice and warning of the Son of God as to what we should do with our lives. It's a warning, that's all. It doesn't say he's sending people to hell, but he's saying what could happen to us if we live our lives selfishly and without feeling or concern for other people. Very important advice and warning. It's not going to happen to us necessarily, but it could happen. That's what Jesus is really saying here. We could be in torment in hell because of our indifference to the poor and suffering around us. He really does say that. I hope you've enjoyed this parable, and you should familiarize yourselves with it. Read the book, read the parable many times. Jesus means business when he talks about things like this. He means serious business, very serious business. I hope you've enjoyed this talk. Good night.